wonder if you would turn with me, please, to the second book of Chronicles, chapter 1. Second Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 1. And Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and magnified him exceedingly. Chapter 9. Chapter 9 and verse 1. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem, with a very great company, and camels that bear spices, and gold in abundance, and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. And there was nothing hid from Solomon, which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, his cupbearers also, and their apparel, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report, which I heard in mine own land, of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not their words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me, for thou exceedest the fame that I had heard. Happy are thy men, and happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee, to set thee on his throne, to be king for the Lord thy God, because thy God loved Israel to establish them forever. Therefore made he thee king over them, to do judgment and justice." Verse 22. And King Solomon passed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. And all the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom that God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver and vessels of gold, and raiment, harness and spices, horses and mules, a rate, year by year. Verse 26. And he reigned over all the kings, from the river even unto the land of the Philistines and to the border of Egypt. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, just one verse. Verse 42, Matthew 12:42. The Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And finally, a couple of verses in Revelation. In Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21 and verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. One has been very conscious that one of the emphases which we have had before us is the greatness of the glory of our Lord Jesus. To see something during these days of how great he is, of how he is omniscient. His wisdom. He knew what he would do. He was fully aware of all of the circumstances. He was and has the capacity for all things. He is great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. There is no one. He is supreme. He is Lord of all. He is the greatest. And in Solomon, we have perhaps a picture of the Lord Jesus, which we will see in a coming day, in the world to come. For that is the day of display. That is the day of glory. That is the day when his glory will be seen in all its magnificence, in all its perfection. When every eye shall see him, when all nations shall bow before him, when every tongue will confess that he is Lord. That day is coming, and thank God for it. How we look on to it. For then is the answer to the depths of sorrow at Calvary's cross, when he was mocked and despised and rejected and spit upon. What a day when every knee will bow. but to see in Solomon something of this picture, to see something of what it will be in that day. And no doubt, although we read in Chronicles where we don't read of any of the difficulties that Solomon had, surely all of the types, I think, we can find something that fails. It must, because there is only one, and he alone who is complete and perfect. And so we see in Solomon a picture, a demonstration for us of that day when all nations will come to him, when his glory will be seen, when it will be shown out, when it will be demonstrated. And to see, as we read in chapter 9, something of what it will be when his house, will be seen. I know that it is reported that Scripture records that he built four houses, but he built a lot more. He built many cities. He built many storehouses. He has perhaps the biggest construction company that ever existed, for he built very much. The Lord Jesus is the super builder. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. But he prepared a place for every family of God. Every family has its place, given a name and a place. And we've got four houses, but the one that we're looking at is his house. And this is the house, perhaps, that we would know in that day. For we will be with the greater than Solomon, in all the intimacy of his place, the place where he will have his own. And this is what we see a little picture of here in dealing with the Queen of Sheba, the lady who came at such a distance. And didn't we all come from such a distance? Far from God, dead in sins and all of the problems and iniquity that we are associated with. But now, brought near, brought into the intimacy of his own house, and to see something of that house today, so that anticipatively we can enter into this house, that we can know what it is to be in his company, in the place where he is. I go to prepare a place for you. And here we see something of what is prepared for the Queen of Sheba and for us. She came with many presents. She came with all the good things that she had in order to question, in order to find out about this man, in order that she could get to know him. Do we? In fact, seek to get to know him? Do we really go to him with the questions, with the hard questions? Here is one who was not ashamed to say that she didn't know the answers. She wasn't ashamed. The queen of the country, a lady with enormous powers. And yet sometimes we find ourselves not looking in the right place for the answers. The one who is able to give the answers. Not only give the answers, he gives the questions. It says, right? He told her all her questions. He knows the questions before we ask them. I will hear thee before thou wilt ask. He answers before we ask. And here is one who has the capacity, the ability, the desire to deal with the hard questions. And here we see he told her everything. Nothing is hid from Solomon. Sometimes we try to hide things. We're not prepared to open our eyes and hearts. Sometimes we reluctant to go with the hard questions. Sometimes a little ashamed of what we've done. There's nothing hid. He is the all-wise. But he wants to commune. And we commune where? Where does he spend his time with the Queen of Sheba? In his house, in his place, around his table. That's what she can see. What's on the table? The cups, the cupbearers, the ones who are there. All of these services that are available to us. Not only available to us, he wants to share them with us, to enjoy his company, to enjoy his fellowship. I think last time I was privileged to be on this platform, I spoke a little bit about the provision the Lord makes at his table, the Lord's table, the place where his food is provided, where there is the opportunity to sit together with him and enjoy fellowship together with him. Are we really there? Are we at his table, or are we starving spiritually? Are we hungry? He wants us there. He wants to share with us. Solomon spent his time at the table communing. That's the place of communion. We all sit around a table, and it's when we sit around a table that we talk together and enjoy the company of one another and ask the questions and get the answers and are sustained together. Maintained together, able to enjoy together the food that he will provide, the nourishment. Yeah. We heard the other evening, what does a head do? The one who is at the head of the table, head provides the direction. He helps in the conversation. He makes sure that the conversation is going right because he directs it. He's the one who nourishes, who provides all the food. And he gives us the wisdom to understand, because he is wisdom. And Christ is made unto us wisdom. And Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, a picture of that one who is wisdom, the wisdom of God. the food of the table, the ascent, the attendance, the apparel. One wonders sometimes, when we are together, how reverent we are. I'm not about to throw stones, because I'm pretty well exposed to stones. Deserve to have a lot thrown in my direction. But you know, when we come into the presence of the Lord, we claim that He's in the midst. Do you really believe that? Do you act as if He is? Do we really have a reverential respect and awe when we come together? Or is it just a happy group of Christians? It's right to be happy. Happy are thy servants. Happy are thy maidservants. We need to be happy. I'm not looking for a load of miserable Christians. There's no such thing. The two things are completely in opposites. You cannot be a Christian and be miserable, because you have the joy of the Lord. And if you don't have the joy of the Lord, then you better get it. You better find out what it is that's holding it back. What is it that's causing you not to enjoy His presence? Because as we are together, as we are alone, we ought to be seeing the features of the kingdom of God, the place we're headed for, the place that will be ours in the kingdom in a coming day. Righteousness, peace, and joy. One has seen some pretty unrighteous actions. One has experienced a lot, perhaps. Do we know the peace of simply passing that over, dealing with the matter before the Lord, and leaving the Lord to work it out? No, we try and work it out ourselves. Either that, or we get the neighboring assembly to come along and get them to do it for us. What a waste, when it could be resolved before the Lord by the people. That's how we get peace. We know His peace. The peace of God that passeth all understanding shall fill your hearts. Does it? And then we know His joy. His joy. The joy that He experienced here in this world. It was for the joy that was set before Him that He endured the cross and despised the shame. The joy of securing you and me. The joy of satisfying a holy God as a man here in this world. The joy of securing Israel for Himself. That was His joy. The joy of bringing you and me into relationship with His Father. And for Him to know, and for us to know, that we are His own. that he would call us my brethren. That's what it's about. Do we know that? Do we know that joy? Do we recognize it as coming together? Because therein, I verily believe, is the biggest difficulty that faces us. As we go through these verses, we see something of the greatness of this house. I said there were four houses. There's his house, the place where he is, the intimacy of that circle where he is in the midst. There's the house of the Lord, that which represents and displays the glory of God here throughout the entire universe, a universe of bliss in a coming day. Not right now, that's for sure. This universe is in a complete disaster, absolute confusion. Very simple. Sin. It's a simple problem. No, it isn't. Very complicated problem. Because people are not prepared to admit it. There's the first mistake. Own their sinnership. Would they? I'm not a sinner. I'm a good person. Right? I mean, this is a common answer. We're all good people. We're all doing good things. That's what the governments of this world are saying. We're trying to help people. We're trying to do good. But they won't admit the first mistake. Sinners who need to be saved, who need to own this one, this Solomon, as the Prince of Peace, who has come to bring peace, who has come in order that people may know peace. This kingdom has two more houses. It has a house for Pharaoh's daughter. The Gentile nations brought into favor, and the house of Lebanon, the place separately provided for his earthly people, the Jewish people. All of these things provided in type here, in picture form, in order that we might see something of the day of glory and begin to enjoy it now, to get it into our souls that this is something that is not all objective, but it is having an impact in our souls now. We see it. We see the picture. We see the beauty of it. We see the glory of the man who runs it. And we want to be associated with him and know something of the greatness of himself. The kings of the earth come to him. We read it in Revelation. They all come. They bring their presence. This is a coming day. In Solomon's day, they did it. They paid tribute. They came in order that Solomon might have been recognized as the man God had appointed for that place. The place of authority, a place of judgment, the place where hard questions were answered. And Solomon, the picture of the blessed Lord himself. We are to be associated with him. In that coming day, in that day of display, in that day of glory, we will be there as his wife. as his wife. Revelation 19, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And his wife hath made herself ready. How ready are we? How ready are we for that day? What are we doing? What is it that we are providing in the way of righteousness for the white robe that we will have in that day? To her was granted to wear white linen, pure, which are the righteousnesses of the saints. Are we? Are we making that wedding dress? Are we actively seeking to promote the Lord's interests in a right way, that he might be glorified in our activity here in this world, that we might be showing out something of the greatness of this one? For that is what the righteousnesses are. It's the doing of right things in the eyes of a holy God. And his wife has made herself ready. Oh, let us get a hold of that. Because for 1,000 years, you will be displayed, along with me, and every other blood-born, blood-bought saint of God, no matter where they are today, everyone who has come into the place of knowing the Lord Jesus as their Savior and Lord will be part of his wife. And then, in the day of display, you will be there, seen, not just to sit around and look pretty, not at all. In that day is the day of responsibility. It is the day when we will be serving our husband, doing the work assigned to a wife, the administrative responsibilities of the house. And that is what we will do in that day. For his glory, yes indeed, at his instruction and with his power and help in every part of it. Wonderful day that will be when he will administer this whole world, when everything that is obnoxious to God will have been completely dealt with, when sin will be put down instantly, when everything will be reconciled to God. We cannot take in what that all means. I've had the pleasure of seeing many parts of this world, of this creation, and we have often remarked on the beauties. But that's all been cursed. Can we really imagine what it would have been like? We'll see it. We'll see it and we'll know it. In that day, the reconciliation of all things. Oh, what a wonderful day for the Creator of this world, when everything will be restored to the way it was intended for the pleasure of God. And we'd be there with him to share in his joy. We go on past that day to the day of God, the day of rest. That's when the bride comes out. That's when we see the bride coming down out of heaven from God, adorned for her husband. Nothing there of you and me. That is the work of God entirely. Completely. The sovereign blessing of God to bring us into favor as the bride of Christ. Nothing there of my service. That's for the world to come. That's for the day of display. But for the day of rest and eternity, it is everything of God and Himself. When the Lord Jesus will have us entirely, if we can so say it, for His own pleasure. When we will be there with Him, like Him, able fully to respond to those echoes of love that we hear day by day today. As we've seen that love displayed in the signs that He did, as we see the love, the kindness of God shown out for us, in order that we, ordinary? No. We're not ordinary people. We're heavenly people. There's nothing ordinary about you and me. We are extraordinary. Because soon we will be like Him. There's nothing ordinary about Him. And we will be able then to respond fully, to know even as we are known. What a day. Solomon, a faint little picture of what that day will be. His territory ran from Egypt to the Philistines from the river. Little part of the Middle East. This one will be a universe of bliss. This will be the whole universe, not just this earth. The principalities and powers in heavenly places will all be brought into His sway. Well, there's nothing small about this. And we'll be with Him, like Him, and able eternally to praise Him as we ought.